So tonight's lesson is on Genesis 18. It's three visitors. Before we start, let's say a prayer. Dear God, I thank thee for this day. Thank thee for Jesus, who gave his life that we may have the hope of heaven. I thank thee for your word that you've given us, that we can study it and know who you are. We know you know who we are. Help us to learn more about you. Help me as I tell your story, that I tell it well and that you're pleased, and that the people that are here, including myself, learn what we need to learn from your word to strengthen us and help us to do your will for us. Pray this all humbly, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I started studying Genesis about 6 or 7 months ago, and I've really been learning a lot. It's strengthening me. It's helping me to know who God is. And I never really attended Sunday school as a kid, you know, so, and even if I had as an adult, it would still be a different read. I believe the Bible is, the stories in Genesis are just fabulous, and so I want to share this one. I think it just really shows who God is and who, that he wants such a wonderful relationship with us. So this message is about Abraham and being a good servant, and that he's a friend of God. And we're friends of God too as Christians. We are heirs to the promise, being related to Abraham. Genesis 18, the three visitors. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. A few things stand out here to me. In the heat of the day, most likely much hotter than 80 or 85 degrees like here in Ventura, Abraham bowed low to the ground, using his hands and face, a sign of respect. The ground was most likely hot enough to melt his shoes. And I know Abraham was almost 100 years old. This does shed light on his respect for these visitors. The ministry of a servant. In seeking to identify Abraham's three visitors, Genesis 19:1 says, two angels arrived in Sodom in the evening. Therefore, two of the three beings appear to be angels. The other being appears to be a messenger who God is speaking through. As we know, God had spoken to Abraham before in Genesis 12:1 and Genesis 15:1, meaning Abraham knows God. It does seem that Abraham recognized the heavenly origins of his guests because he sprang into action to serve them when they appeared. That reaction sets a good example for us, because you never know when the Lord will show up at your place. When he does, he's looking for the same spirit, servant heart, found in Abraham. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you may be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you've come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. The quickness of his ministry. Abraham springs into action, speedily trying to supply every need of his heavenly visitors. He may be 100 years old, but there is not a hesitation as he flies from one task to the next until all is completed. Note to self. Here is a man who recognizes his duty and set about to do it quickly as possible. May I just remind us all that the Lord deserves the best service we can give him. When we are serving him, regardless of how menial the task, we should do our best to recognize who we are serving, and we should seek to do the best possible job for the glory of the Lord. If it's worth doing for the Lord, it's worth doing right. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get 3 sheaves of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. The quality of his ministry, not only was Abraham swift in his service to the Lord, but he was also sacrificial in his service to the Lord. He went to his flock and personally selected, killed, and prepared a calf for their meal. Note to self, you haven't really become a servant You haven't really become a servant until your service costs you personally. Being willing to sacrifice for your master is a sign that you possess a servant's heart. Whether the service is time, tithe, or talents, it is willingly rendered at the request of the master and for his glory. The greatest sacrifice you can offer, of course, is yourself. Romans 12:1. That is a sacrifice no one else can give to him. By the way, when he has you, he has everything you have anyway. And he has blessed you with everything you have. While they ate, he stood near them under the tree. While they ate, he stood near them under the tree. The quietness of his ministry, while his visitors were eating their meal, Abraham stood quietly by to serve them in any way they might need. He simply stood beside them, adopting the pose of a servant, listening for the voice of the Lord. Note to self, imagine the reaction of Abraham's servants as they watched him assume the role of a servant to the Lord. What a powerful testimony it was to them. By the way, other people here in Ventura are watching us too. Make sure your service and testimony are all they should be. Note to self, real servants of God are individuals who make themselves ever available to the Lord and his work. They are ready and willing to serve him on a moment's notice. When there are no orders to follow, they continue to do the best, the last thing they were told until new orders come. They are his and they have no will of their own, but they are lost in his will for their lives. That is a servant's heart. What do you consider to be the last words our Lord spoke to us about? I believe it is Matthew 28. We all hear these words differently, and we all respond to these words differently. I believe in my heart that is why we all have different talents and gifts to use for good. We all have one job to do in Matthew 28. How we do it is not important. Being a doer and not just a hearer is important. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Continue with the scriptures. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? So Sarah laughed to herself and she said, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Once again, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. A message about a child. Sarah was afraid because she did not want God to think she didn't believe him. I believe God knew her true thoughts and was kind to her, just like God is kind to us, too. It is possible that Sarah laughed for many reasons. Twice in the past 20 years, Abraham has passed Sarah off as his sister, with the result that she had entered other men's harems and came perilously close to being violated while Abraham stood mutely by. For the past 15 years, Sarah has observed Abraham's obvious affection for Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden with whom he has begat Ishmael, and he has made no secret of his delight in the son of their union. And Abraham and Sarah story does not have a history that speaks of marital concord, much less one that can reunite the passion of their bed. No, there are more obstacles embedded in the story than just that Sarah is old. She may be heartbroken, or at least resigned to the distance between Abraham and herself. She laughs not at the absurdity of a child. She laughs at the thought that she might ever again experience pleasure with her husband. It is a peculiar Hebrew word she uses, encompassing both lust and delight and all of the sensual pleasures in heaven, The word pleasure in Hebrew or Greek simply means pleasing or delightful. Far more than just her womb will need to be restored. And so she laughs because she cannot hope. But in challenging her, God is also gracious to the point where he deliberately misquotes what she has said, so that Abraham thinks she laughs only because she is old. God will not expose the longings hidden by her laughter, but he will answer them. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? God speaks the question to Abraham, but it is intended for Sarah, who answers. Sarah continued to laugh. She named her son Isaac, which means laughter. And anyone and everyone who hears about this will laugh with her. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Note to self, this episode is a reminder that God knows everything there is to know about you and me. He knows our motives, our secret sins, and all things that we do. Nothing is hidden from his eyes. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Abraham pleads for Sodom. When the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike? Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Let's talk about this statement from Abraham. When I first read it, I thought, how bold of Abraham. Then I realized, no, he shows his love and concern for God here. I am the one who is bold when I question God for the wrong reasons that are most likely selfish on my part. I love how Abraham speaks to God with respect and honor. I believe we should all listen to Abraham before we talk to the Lord. We continue with the scripture. The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again. "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "If for the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, May my Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" For he said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak once more. What if only 10 are found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." When the Lord had finished speaking to Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. The dialogue between Abraham and the Lord, amazing. Abraham's dialogue with the Lord arises out of several burdens he carries because of the revelation that he has just received. First, he is concerned about God's reputation. If the Lord simply destroys the people of Sodom, Abraham's concerned that the people will get the wrong impression of God and his love for the sinners. Secondly, he thinks about Lot and his family who live in Sodom. He wants them to be spared, at the very least, so that he begins to talk to God about the situation and gets God to agree to spare the city if just 10 righteous people can be found there. In Lot's family, there was Lot, his wife, 2 unmarried daughters, and at least 2 married daughters and their husbands. So there was a total of at least 8 people in the family. Abraham must have thought Lot would have won a few others. Note to self, although Abraham did not know at the time that his prayer was answered, God did spare the righteous when he destroyed the wicked. When the morning came and Abraham looked down towards Sodom, he saw the smoke in that place. He must have been discouraged. However, his prayer had been heard, and it was successful. Sometimes our prayers seem very ineffective and weak, but only in eternity will we know the full impact of our personal ministry of prayer in the lives of others. Therefore, do not be discouraged. Just pray and trust the Lord to bring it to pass. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective." God wants us to, he wants to hear from us. We should pray often. It's part of our relationship with him. It should be second nature to us to pray. Every time we're blessed, every time we feel hurt, it's our only avenue, and we should be doing it all the time. I don't mean on our knees. I mean anywhere we're at. You don't have to necessarily be on your knees. So God understands, and God wants to hear from us all. Abraham believed God, and he was called God's friend. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Wow, to be called God's friend, I can't think of anything better, a better friend to have than God. And as Christians, we are God's friend too, because we are his righteous children. We may not always act righteously, but we are his righteous children. And because of that, we are included in the promise to Abraham. John 15:15, what a beautiful thing here. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. What have we learned from this sermon? What it means to be a servant, whether the service is tithe or time or talents or some of each. Is there anything too hard for the Lord who created the heavens and the earth? Don't put limits on God. There are no limits. There are no limits. God listened to Abraham. Prayer is important for us. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God is loving and patient with us, and God knows our thoughts. Look at Sarah, who laughed quietly to herself and was told, yes, she did laugh. God showed her mercy in so many ways, as God does to us all. God's providence did prevail in this story. Sarah had Isaac. God's providence will prevail in Ventura, this church, in the preacher search, as per his will. Do you need to work on any or one of these, one or more of these areas that we've talked about in your relationship with the Lord? If so, pray about them, because prayer is powerful. If you desire to confess your faith in Jesus and put him on in baptism, or you have a special request for the elders, please come forward as we sing the invitation song. Thank you.